A vision of North Korea with a 21st century economy? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Now to the possibility of development of North Korea's savagely underdeveloped economy, given the summit in Singapore. During the president's news conference today, Donald Trump spoke of a video he showed Kim Jong-un. The 4.5-minute piece was produced by the White House in the form of a fake movie trailer. There are two paths, the video suggests, back toward poverty and military conflict rendered in black and white, or a peaceful future.
Be part of that world, where the doors of opportunity are ready to be opened. Investment from around the world, where you can have medical breakthroughs, an abundance of resources, innovative technology, and new discoveries.
Marketplace's Jennifer Pack joins us now from the summit in Singapore. Tell me more about this video.
Well, he was trying to show Kim Jong-un a different future. The video was cut like a Hollywood movie trailer, showing North Korea in dreary black and white footage and contrasted with colored footage of skyscrapers around the world, virtual reality testing, solar panels, promising medical breakthroughs. And he's trying to say that this could be North Korea. And is he going to step up to the plate with President Trump and sell this? And President Trump said that this message was well received by the North Korean leader.
Think of it from a real estate perspective. You have South Korea, you have China, and they own the land in the middle. How bad is that, right? It's great. But I told them, I said, you may not want to do what's there. You may want to do a smaller version of it, or, you know, and that could be. Although I tell you what, he looked at that tape, he looked at that iPad, and I'm telling you, they really enjoyed it, I believe.
All right. So, Jennifer, with this agreement, what do we know about economic development that might follow from it?
Well, very little, because the point of this meeting was about nuclear weapons. And out of the four agreements that were laid out in the signed joint agreement, only one mentioned it. But there was no timeline, almost no details about how the denuclearization process could be complete, verifiable, or irreversible, which was the long-stated U.S. goal. And President Trump said that the North Korean leader also agreed to destroy a missile engine testing site, but then did not include that in the document. Here's what he did say, though, about existing sanctions against North Korea.
Sanctions played a big role, but they'll come off at that point. I hope it's going to be soon, but they'll come off. They, as you know, and as I've said, the sanctions right now remain. But at a certain point, I actually look forward to taking them off.
A Chinese foreign ministry spokesman suggested today that China is open to easing economic sanctions on North Korea. Quote, China has consistently held that sanctions are not the goal in themselves. And thanks to Marketplace's Jennifer Pack in Singapore there. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London down 0.3%. S&P and NASDAQ futures down 0.1%. U.S. interest rates, the 10-year yield up at 2.97%. The guardians of those rates at the Federal Reserve are meeting today and tomorrow. Expect them to raise rates by a quarter of a point for the second time this year. That'll happen tomorrow. And with the strong U.S. economy, short-term rates could go up several more times this year. Now, the talk of Wall Street and beyond is the prospect of an inverted yield curve. Don't let the jargon scare you. It's when it costs less to borrow money for a really long time and costs more to borrow short-term. Marketplace's Amy Scott has the significance.
An inverted yield curve has preceded all nine recessions since 1955.
It's our most reliable, I would say, recession indicator.
Tim Dewey, an economics professor at the University of Oregon, says we're not there yet, but if short-term yields continue rising faster than long-term,
it could be easily within the next year that you would see the yield curve invert.
Typically, a recession follows 6 months to 2 years later. Dewey says it's not clear if the inverted curve is a cause or a symptom. One theory is the economy slows when it becomes less profitable for banks to borrow short-term and lend long-term. But economist Mickey Levy with Berenberg Capital Markets says long-term rates are much lower now than in past cycles.
Even if short rates were to go above long rates, they would be at fairly low levels, and it might not signal the economic problems that an inverted curve in the past has had.
Then again, we heard this time is different before the last recession, too. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Hi, I'm Zach, and I listen to Marketplace in Arlington, Virginia. I think what I appreciate the most about Marketplace is their ability to take the economic news of the day, issues such as tariffs, rate hikes, and tax reform, cut through the political noise, and clearly and concisely explain not only how these issues affect our country and the rest of the world, but how they impact people like me. I hope you'll consider joining me as a Marketplace investor and donate today at marketplace.org to help make their work possible.
The fancy new buildings go up in our cities, but where do the lower-income people live? Well, Philadelphia City Council is expected to vote this week on one approach to that city's affordable housing problem, a 1% tax on all new construction. Marketplace's Erica Barris has more.
Philadelphia has one of the highest poverty rates in the country, but look at the skyline. It's full of cranes. A tax on all that new construction could raise as much as $20 million a year. Councilmember Maria Quinones Sanchez says the city needs to prioritize its housing initiatives.
We owe it to those long-term residents to create the same robust programming we've done for new residents, millennials, and others moving back into the city.
But the plan is controversial. Building trade union members are busy, and they are part of the opposition to the tax. Ironworker Kevin Boyle says this tax could slow down construction, and the plan is not clear.
It's going into a housing trust, but who's going to be in charge of it? Who's going to be saying who gets it and what do they get?
Then there's the matter of courting Amazon. Philadelphia is a finalist to land the company's second headquarters. One thing Amazon's looking for, a spectrum of housing options for their entire workforce. So the building tax could be a plus and a national model. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
And when it comes to robots, artificial intelligence, and automation taking people's jobs, the counterargument is typically the ATM. Sure, those machines replaced bank tellers, but human employment in the banking industry actually expanded. But the robots are now at the gate. The Financial Times is reporting that Citigroup could lay off half of its tech and operations people in the next 5 years, given all the new technology. 10,000 people could go. This suggests a pace of layoffs in banking larger than what happened following the 2008 financial crisis. Our producers are Justin Ho, Michael Lipkin, Katie Long, Daniel Shin. I'm David Brancaccio, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.